If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
August is almost over, and that means the Kinda Funny Patreon pledge drive is about to wrap up. If you love what we do, please know we couldn't do it without your support on patreon.com/kindafunny, and it would mean the world to us if you tossed us a sub, even if it was just for a month.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, August 22nd, 2023, aka the day of Gamescom 2023, opening night live, that is. Of course, I am Tim Geddes. I am joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Good afternoon, Tim.
I'm joined by the master of hype, Snowbike Mike.
Wonderful afternoon, Tim.
And I'm joined by Game Over Greggy himself, Greg Miller.
You said Thursday and I my heart stopped. I was like, it's not Thursday, is it?
Wow.
Tuesday.
You're so right. You're so right.
It doesn't matter. I'm not even trying to correct you. It's not even that. It's just like, I was like, what day is it?
There was definitely some like dyslexia going on there where I was like looking at the Tuesday and the August. And for some reason, it created a Thursday in my mind.
August is like the Thursday of months.
That's exactly where my head's
at. Yeah, no, I feel you. I understand. No, I got you.
Because I know that sounds crazy.
Yeah, no, but I totally understand what you're talking about.
Totally believe that. Anyways, here's the thing, guys. We're about to break down everything we just saw during Opening Night Live 2023, Jeff Keighley's latest endeavor. Of course, you can watch our live reactions over on youtube.com/kindafunnygames if you want to see us live react to everything. But now that we've got a chance to see it all, we're going to give our thoughts overall on what we just saw, thing by thing, game by game, movie by movie, potentially. A lot of stuff
Zack
to talk
Snyder
about.
Zack Snyder by Zack Snyder.
Series by Netflix series.
Stage Crasher by Stage Crasher.
Wow.
Exactly. There were highs, there were lows, there was everything in between. But of course, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday we get together to talk about all the video game news that you need to know. And we do it live on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you can't watch live, that's totally cool. You can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or roosterteeth.com as a video. But if you want to listen as a podcast, search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Games Daily and we'll be right there for you. But here's the thing, everybody. Joey just told you at the top of the show, but if you want to go above and beyond, you can go to patreon.com/kindafunny, where you can get the shows ad-free. You get a whole bunch of bonus content, including a new episode of Kinda Feudy we just did yesterday, where one of the questions was, name a Ratchet and Clank weapon. And let me tell you, that's a lot. As a man that loves Ratchet and Clank, I was sitting there scratching my head. I'm like, oh, man, I can think of them. I just can't think of the names, Mike. What, you
the
got
razor
one?
Blade one where you shoot off razor blades.
That's not a name.
That's not a name.
Mike, name the
Shears.
Mike, name the best boss battle in the Metal Gear Solid series.
Well, it's definitely not that old guy. So if I had to
come
pick
on.
One,
the
it
end?
Would be
you
Liquid.
Like the end?
He hates the end.
That was such a boring fight.
Because he only watched it. That's the problem.
Over there, Barrett, he's over there. He crawled
it's
over
the
there.
It's the peak of the Metal Gear stealth gameplay.
God. Patreon.
You can go check out that episode on Patreon. It was a fantastic one. Shout out to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool, Delaney Twining, and Logan Delaney, the Delaney brothers.
Delaney
For helping us out over there on Patreon, just like you can. Today, we're brought to you by BetterHelp, but we'll tell you about that later. I want to get right into it. What did we think about Gamescom opening night live? Greg Miller, I want to start with you. Oh, yeah, time for the news. We have one story today.
Baker's Dozen!
Exactly. Greg, what would you give this year's Gamescom opening night live on the Kinda Funny scale of 1 to 5?
I was hoping you wouldn't start with me so I could coast and
I could bounce off.
No, because that would be a cowardly move, and I'm no fucking coward.
You don't coast.
I also know I'm an uggo thanks to Mike. Mike revealed that I'm fucking ugly on this stream, but you know what I mean?
I think I was stunned. I was like, oh.
Oh, you're hot? You know, that's not right. No,
you're sexy was the word.
2 hours. I'm going to say it. I'm just going to throw out there. What
throw it out.
In the chat, I know I see you over here. You're not going to like it. I'm aware. Uh-oh. I'm going to say it straight to your face, though. For Gamescom. Opening night live, which again is what we were reviewing this on and doing on this. This was a 4 out of 5. This was great. I had a lot of fun. Granted, a lot of fun with you guys and eating wings and talking shit and doing whatever. But even looking through it, like, even the games I wasn't into presented well. I wasn't sitting here going like, I am bored to tears. Some things went on too long. This, that, the other, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, yeah. Of course, I know they're going to call it. What about the people popping in and they're saying like, oh, we're going to give you the awards. We're going to show you some cosplay shit. We're gonna do this. It's like, it's Gamescom. That has to happen. That is what this show is. Again, I saw earlier in the chat go by, someone say, oh man, Jeff needs to drop Gamescom and just keep it to Game Awards and Summer Game Fest. And it's like, yo, this is like, this isn't even really Jeff's thing. He partners with Gamescom. They hire him to make this show and do this. He's getting the bag for it, and he's bringing his friends together. Like, I wasn't hyped coming into this, which helped. I came in being like, all right, I'm going to do this thing, and I had fun, and I saw some cool games, and I'll tell you what. It was, again, 4 out of 5, right? But I would sit through it all again, and it could be all terrible games. It could be all PC games if you're going to drop that Crimson Desert on me one more time.
That was dope.
That was an awesome trailer.
Definitely.
I had a lot of fun today.
Snowbike Mike, what about you?
Greg, I like you saying that. I'm on a 3 out of 5. I think it was an okay presentation. I think it was a good 3 out of 5. I like what Jeff has done. I like what Greg, of course, explained to the audience right there of like knowing what opening night live is, right? It's the kickoff to the big Gamescom convention. And the big goal is like sharing the games that you're most likely going to go get hands-on time with at the convention itself. Did it have some really fun games to watch that showed off very well? Heck yeah, did. There were some great trailers that speak to a wide breadth of audience, which I thought was really, really awesome. Were there some moments where we really got in the mud and slowed down? Of course, that happens all the time. Call of Duty overstayed its welcome. They probably should have showed the multiplayer
Roger
map.
Roger was out here freaking out. You were having a great time.
I had a great time. I'm just saying it showed poorly. It should have showed the multiplayer maps, or if you do want to show off, hey, this is the open mission structure that we're promoting, you need to show it in different facets. You need to say, hey, Blessing went up top. Oh, Mike went through the sewers. Like, you have to do it like that. You can't just show me going into prison in Verdansk and going, I'm left, right, and center. Like, it just doesn't look good, team, right? But other than that, this was an all-around fine, fun show. So, nice 3 out of 5, high 3 out of 5 for Mike.
Bless.
Yeah, I'm also at a high 3 out of 5. I think it started off really, really strong, right? Early on, we had that Starfield live action trailer, and I think that blew all of us away. The Little Nightmares 3 announcement was really cool. I know Roger was in the other room going crazy. Black Myth Wukong had a fantastic trailer. Crimson Desert had a fantastic trailer. Like, there was a lot of energy in that first third of the show. But then I think we did get into the mud a little bit where I found myself getting a bit bored when we reached Fort Solace Under the Waves, the first Descendant. And like, parts of these games look cool, right? Even the first Descendant was one we're starting and I'm like, all right, another one of these. And then you see more of the gameplay and you're like, oh, actually, no, this looks really cool. But I think for me, there was still this level of, all right, it feels like a lot of sitting around, listening to people talk, watching trailers that aren't paced the best. And I understand that it is Gamescom, it is opening night live, this is kind of what it has to be, but I don't think that removes it from the context of we've seen what 5 out of 5 showcases look like, we've seen what 4 out of 5 showcases look like, and like, you know, Gamescom is not the one that I'm looking forward to out of the Jeff Keighley trio, right? I'm gonna be so excited when we get to the Game Awards. I'm gonna be so excited when we get to Summer Game Fest. Gamescom is another year where when we get to it next year, I am gonna be like, all right, what are the big games we think about when we think about Gamescom and what closes it? All right, we got a Dead Island 2 announcement last year. We got Saints Row a couple years ago. And this year we got another showing of Alan Wake 2. Alan Wake 2 looks really cool, right? But that is not on the level of showing off a brand new game that we could get at a Game Awards in the case of an Elden Ring and stuff like that. And so I still thought it was a good time, though. Like, this is not a bad showcase. For me, 3 out of 5 is a good score. Like, that is, you are good. You're solid right there. And so that's where I'm leaving it, even though there are some highlights here that I'm sure we'll get into.
Really quick, Tim. You know, I asked you, I was like, how do we improve upon this? Is this the year that Jeff like blows us out of the water? I want to walk away saying this was an improvement. This was, of course, he has the games, right? Like, we are in a year stacked with some killer games. So, of course, it's going to be a little bit easier to show all that. But like, it felt like this was a much more fun show to watch than last year's show. So I think there are improvements being made to this opening night ceremony that makes it like, oh, this is worthwhile to watch.
Yeah. Right there with you. This to me is a very solid 3 out of 5. I feel like I always go into these showcases, conferences, whatever they are, wanting answers to questions we're asking, wanting surprises. And I feel like while we didn't get too many surprises in terms of announcements, we did get surprises in terms of seeing some games like Crimson Desert that made us all go, oh, wow, we might have heard of this before, we might have seen it before, but I'm being surprised at how this looks. It is now something I'm like looking forward to. And in terms of answering questions we're asking, getting the release dates for Sonic, getting the release dates for Tekken, like that's what I'm looking for here. So I'm satisfied with getting that stuff. I feel like this is the best opening night live that we've seen thus far. I think it is finding its footing that we've talked about for a long time. This kind of being that middle show that allows more of a preview focus, more of a, you already know about this, let's go a little bit deeper into it, which I think is a very tough thing to show. And I think that that is a harder thing to create extremely compelling and exciting content out of, especially over 2 hours, because there's a lot of known quantities going into it. But then also, if the game's not for you, you already know it's not for you potentially. So I feel like there's that tougher sell of them being like, you're either in on Alan Wake or you're not. You're either in on all the HoYoverse stuff or you're not. And so it's like, you know, that little bit of, we always talk about, Greg, going back to the days of PSX and stuff, of like, there's going to be 20 announcements and hopefully three of them are for you, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I think for a show that's more focused on deep dives, that gets a little more challenging just because like we are expecting more, and it's kind of delivering. Lords of the Fallen is going to be delivering for people that are looking for the update on that game, as opposed to, hey, here's this fun announcement. But having said that, I think this did a good job of doing that. I feel like it wasn't boring. I feel like there was some, I have criticisms of the pacing, but I feel like overall it worked. I'm with Bless and Mike to the extent of, there was the get into the mud part of the show, and I don't think there's ever getting away from that. I think the show could have improved in certain ways, but overall, I'm not really going to ding them on the pacing of this one. I feel like there was a lot of great stuff. The game showed well, I think, is the most important thing. They're varied. They're cool. I always want more excitement. Like I feel like this is such a great example of how one of these shows can go. Does one of these shows need to happen? That's a different question. But the fact of the matter is, Gamescom exists, and I do think that this is a excellent kickoff to the people being there, being able to play this weekend and all of that. Watching from home, it's a little bit of more a mixed bag for me, where I'm like, I personally much prefer a Game Awards or Summer Games type thing of announcements, where it's like this type of thing, it's like I don't know. I don't know the future of this in terms of like how excited I'll ever be for one of these. But hey, if it's a 3 out of 5, I'm okay with it. If it was a 2 out of 5, it'd be more of an issue, you know?
If we were in Germany right now, would you want to go to this live?
No.
Right, like that's what really this is. It's like the pre to the big convention. This is the night before. Hey, instead of going getting blasted at the bar, why don't you come out and hang out with all your gamer friends? Like, would you want to go to this? I 100% would want to. This is 2 hours in the big convention hall, getting to see games, developers come out. I think this is really fun. I like this.
Now, Tim, you and me, we would go out and we'd go get some sauces since we're in Germany and get sausage. Just like a bunch of Kolsch. That'd be a fun time.
Yeah.
Get blasted. Yes. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think there's something nice about having the celebratory thing that you can go to, right? Because when you're looking at Gamescom, you're talking about a lot of fans, but you're also talking about a lot of people that work in the industry and are also developers. And so for me, if I'm in Gamescom, if I'm at Germany, for sure, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll go to the two-hour show that Jeff Keighley's throwing on, sit next to my friends, cheer for the homies that I see go on stage, cheer for when I see Troy Baker get on stage, right? Like, I think that's a fun environment regardless, right? Like, I think we're in a very unique spot of looking at this through more of a critical lens, because most people don't do that. Most people just show up and, like, have fun at these things, right? But I think for us, there is this level of, all right, this is setting the tone, right? Like, what does this look like in terms of how we view showcases as a whole? And I think when it comes down to it, yeah, like, I think there's space to do better, but I also think that these do get better year by year. Like, I think it's marginally. Like, if I had to guess what my last couple of years were for, or scores were for the last few years, I'd say I probably gave Gamescom last year a 3, and maybe before that gave it a 3 also, right? Like, I feel like this always hits that consistent level of, all right, well, that was fine. Like, that was a show. I think eventually we could get to a 4, and that mainly depends on what that divvy up looks like as E3 starts to go, right? Like, by next year, when Jeff Keighley has even more power and he is able to, like, go, okay, this is at Summer Game Fest, this is at Gamescom, this is at the Game Awards, I think you find the opportunities to even out the shows throughout. But I think this is just where we're at with,
I don't think that'll ever happen though. I think it's back to what this show is and what Gamescom is. And I think, again, as Jeff gets more and more control and publishers see more and more value in SGF / that E3 time frame, right, I think you'll continue to see that information go. So Gamescom has to pivot and be something different. And again, deep dives and longer stuff and getting into it, that may be a turnoff if you're not into the game. And again, that's why I'm saying I think this is a great presentation for what it had to be. This isn't a great SGF conference. This isn't a great E3 conference. This isn't a great Game Awards. This is a very different thing.
Yeah. Is this a showcase? Right? Like, truly and honestly, is this a showcase? No, not really. It's the kickoff to a games convention where it's showing you the games that you're probably going to play. I don't really look at it as a summer showcase where it is the big reveals and all that jazz. I think he's got three different things he's touching that are so drastically different, right? Yeah, we all come to see the games and hope for big reveals, but like he's got a game awards show. He's got a summer fest where he actually reveals the big marketing push. And then he's got somewhere he's got to make a fun opening night ceremony, essentially, just like the Olympics, that are fun to watch for people to come to and spend their time before this. He's got three different things that all I think he's doing well with.
If they're different things, they need to be treated differently, though. I think that's the thing is like
they don't feel different, though. They do feel different to me.
Different.
You say you do think
I feel like they feel different.
I think they do feel different, but in terms of like the way that they're promoted, the way they're talked about, it's like really the only major difference is the amount of hype around announcements. It's like our games being announced or not is really the biggest difference between Game Awards, Summer Game Fest, and Opening Night Live in terms of the way that them being a showcase is presented. And I feel like they did a great job of managing those expectations. But when you manage expectations to not be too hyped or excited for things, then yeah, you get a 3 out of 5 when you accomplish your goals. They accomplished the goals here. And I said this during the live event, but I do think by far this was the best Gamescom in terms of the lack of commercials and advertising getting in the way. Of course, there are sponsored moments that pays the bills and all that. But I feel like that stuff, like it was Game Pass essentially and like Armored Core and things like that that were really shown that way. But I like that. I feel like, hey, reminder, Immortals is out. Armored Core is coming like in a couple weeks. It's like, yeah, that's the point of this type of thing is to like keep celebrating games, promote these games that we're going to hopefully be talking about during Game Awards season. Let's get into a breakdown item by item of what was announced, shown at Opening Night Live. Started with Starfield getting a musical performance by the composer.
On a small grand piano.
A very small grand piano, yes.
It's cut in half, would say.
Crazy.
Playing the Starfield theme. Starfield, of course, very, very, very imminent. We got the cool launch trailer that we love to see, live action. This was legit awesome.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
This is super dope. And then Todd Howard came out, made it even more fun. Like, that's a strong start right there. That was dope. That was
Again, good. Very different than what you'd see, I think, at SGF or one in some ways. But you know what I mean, in terms of what you'd get from the other shows for a game that is imminent. Let's not do a gigantic deep dive. Let's do the little presentation with some music. Let's show you the brand new ad. That is cool. It was well done and well shot and got me hype. And then, of course, yeah, have Todd come out and talk through some of the more, hey, this is what we wanted to make and why, and show you this stuff and remind you of what this is, a game that, even though we all think about it all the time in terms of being imminent, we still haven't seen that much from publicly.
Yeah. Mm.
Also, this risk people crash the stage.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it's like, I feel like you gotta stress how tough it is to like be on stage and be at a presentation like this where you know so many people are watching, right? And like, you know, when you're in the midst of introing someone like Todd Howard that the audience goes crazy for, to have somebody crash the stage right before that is really rattling. So like, shout out to Jeff Keighley for being able to kind of keep it together and be able to transition out of that into the
next. I mean, Jeff, a consummate professional. I assure you, Greg would not have this reaction if you crashed a DICE Awards or whatever. I would especially wrestle you to the ground right here.
Tombstone pile drive
push this motherfucker away, right? And I hate that he's wearing an Austin 316 shirt. Yeah. Don't put this on WWE gamers on top of that.
Yeah. This was the first time Jeff had to put up with one, like, in the middle of this. Remember, the last one, guy came at the end and jumped in during the actual Game of the Year award there.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the first time where someone, we are kicking off the show. Jeff is about to find his rhythm.
Look at how restrained he's trying to be. He is understandably so angry right there.
And so
how slow fucking security was to stop him.
Oh, so slow.
I stepped on you when you're like, there's two. I'm like, no, the guy, I thought the guy who came out with his hands up was trying to block the guy. I didn't realize he was with him, that other people were coming to the stage.
No, Jeff did very well. And like you said, bless, he recovered well is the main goal. Because you could have easily shut down there, but the guy couldn't shut down.
Show's so got to go on.
Got to go.
It's so upsetting, man. Don't do this shit. Like, I just can't believe that like this is happening. It's so unfortunate that, like Jeff was saying, that like a celebration of games and all this stuff that this creates the need for like ridiculous levels of security that is just like such fucking bullshit.
I mean, back to back, I guess not back to back because there's nothing SGF, right? But it's one of those things of, yeah, like this is going to ruin it for everyone else. Like we talked about it at Game Awards last year, right? When it happened, or the last Game Awards, right? Where I was like, well, we've always thought it was so bizarre that no one checks your ticket all the way down. Like, I could see it next year having it really, you know, partitioned off, right, of like really stringent security of getting the Phil Spencers and influencer people down to where their seats should be, keeping away the public. And you look at this, it's like you'd imagine it's going to be the same thing if suddenly the social contract is broken that you won't rush the stage and say Bill Clinton wants GTA 6.
Yeah.
Which, again, like, Can we come up with something? What are you trying to do if you're trying to do
is
it?
Is that kid paying people to go all around the globe?
No, he's just inspired other weirdos.
You know what I mean? Is he paying kids? What is he
doing?
It's
like Batman, when Batman talks about this.
I was looking at the chat. Like, there's articles on Dexerito talking about how, like, this kid, not the Game Awards kid, but this kid does similar things of, like, has invaded other German TV channels to say the exact same thing.
Great.
Anyway, that's just fucking... Don't do this shit. Anyways, Starfield, kicking it off. Musical performance. Just, hey, this game's happening. It's happening soon. First new franchise in 20-something years. It's just wild. Yeah. So, good for them. Hopefully this works out. Story number two, Little Nightmares 2, or game number two, Little Nightmares 3. This one from Supermassive, coming 2024, along with The Sounds of Nightmares, a 6-episode podcast you can get now. Looks like co-op coming to Little Nightmares franchise. I played Little Nightmares 1 a little bit, and it was pretty cool, but I don't remember why I never stuck with it. But, Mike, you kind of popped off for the co-op here.
Yeah, I really liked Little Nightmares 2, and I'm excited to see more of this game. I think this is a really good IP. Very interesting. It's in new hands, like you brought up earlier.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I love a good co-op horror experience, and I think Little Nightmares is a perfect game on the couch, just like It Takes Two, where you and a loved one, you and a family member, a friend could play this together, and it will make that experience that much better, right? Because, like, that's how I played Little Nightmares 2 was helping my friend play the game, right? Like, hey, I couldn't get past this. Can you help me? Oh, yeah, I'd love to. We're sitting on the couch having a good time. The idea that we can play this together co-op, I love that. I love that.
I like the look of it a lot. I'm always a fan of little bird guys. You know what
sure,
I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is, but they're cool.
Also an interesting one of, you know, this is Namco Bandai pivoting from the developer, right? They were, Tarsier is who had made Little Nightmares 1 and 2. And here we see Bandai Namco, you know, doubling down. Tarsier had said this was that number 2 was their last one, but, you know, Bandai could do whatever they want with it. It's their IP. And here we are giving to Supermassive, of course, the Until Dawn people, the Quarry people, the one we are a big fan of, the Dark Pictures Anthology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you? Like, are you surprised that Supermassive would be making Little Nightmares 3? There's something about that.
Yes,
that feels
and
a little
no. Incongruent. Like, it kind of feels like it kind of makes sense, right? Little Nightmares, their whole horror thing, their vibe of it, yada yada. Obviously, a very different game than what we've seen with all the other, you know, choose your own adventure horror games they make. But that's also been a joke for quite a while, right? The fact that, like, okay, you go from Until Dawn, you start doing the series I was just talking about, Dark Pictures Anthology.
Yeah. I mean, they did, like, Rush of Blood and stuff.
And then
like
you put
that.
Quarry out, yeah, and then you put the Quarry out there, right? And they're all just the same kind of game, a different shade. Yes, of course, the Rush of Blood and the other one. They've done two of the VR games.
Oh, yeah, the one that came out this year.
Exactly. They're
Switchback.
Different. There it is, nailed it. But it's like, okay, I'm sure they want to stretch their legs in some way.
Yeah,
it's just insane how many games they're putting out.
I mean, there was somebody in chat mentioned the Impatient, which I think was them as well. Like
VR, yeah.
I think they're kind of like, and I don't mean this in a negative way, right? But like kind of gun for hire-ish of, hey, dude, we're Supermassive and we make these creepy ass games and we're versatile in our ability, right? We make a lot of these types of narrative stuff, but that doesn't mean that, hey, if you show up with the bag, though, we won't do a Little Nightmares 3, right? Like, they strike me as one of those, which honestly is good for them.
I like that.
Because they're able to get that money in and they're able to partner with people like PlayStation, partner with people like Bandai Namco, which they partnered with on
Dark Pictures Anthology.
Yeah. And so you already have that relationship.
This was the one, yeah, where when they came out and they're like, we're going to do 9 of these games once a year.
Who published the Quarry?
2K.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Really interesting out there. Supermassive. Black Myth Wukong was next. This is super, super cool Chinese game. Bless, you've been excited for this one.
Yeah, it's been one that's been going viral for a couple years now on the internet, and it looks really cool, right? Kind of has this action, I forget the term we came up for it, but like that almost Souls-like type action gameplay to it, but it almost looks like it flows a little bit closer to something like Sekiro or something that is like less on the fantasy side and more so on like the because I don't know if Feudal Japan is the correct way to describe it, but like it definitely isn't like that dark fantasy that we're used to, right? And it looks really cool. The big boss battles look really cool. The all the big boss fights seemingly being like against these fucked up looking animals, this really cool idea, right? Like right now you look at the video and you have this tiger drinking out of a pool of blood and then powering up. It looks really cool. It looks really fun. And yeah, this trailer, I think, was another one of like, yeah, this continues to look awesome.
Just real quick, going back to Little Nightmares 3, Tom Davis in the chat was saying that Supermassive actually helped with Little Nightmares 2 as well.
The enhanced edition.
On the Xbox Series X and the ports.
Right. So. Tarsier made it, but then they are the ones who got it for the next gen.
Yeah. So there's some familiarity. But yeah, what about you, Mike? What are you thinking about this one?
It looked good. It didn't have the as hype moment as we first saw it, right? I think when that took over the culture and everybody was like, oh my God, we got to talk about this game. It is nice to finally see it again. I think that's the big win for me is like, put this game back on the map. Let's get some excitement going on, especially at the world's largest in-person gaming convention. I know they have a booth down there that people took photos of. So it's like, let's get the excitement for this. Let's move towards a release date. Let's get a date and let's get people playing this game because it looks dope.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing is the no release date. Like, I feel like the Gamescom, again, answer the questions here. So I was a little surprised not to get one for this. It looks awesome.
I believe it got a 2024 not too long ago.
Okay.
I think maybe a week ago or something, but I can double check that.
Yeah, Aethrim in the chat saying summer 2024 for that one. Then Killing Floor 3.
Mike popped huge.
Grab your friends, Killing Floor. I mean, this is a fun online co-op shooter, horde mode type vibe. Just a bunch of just scary monsters rushing at you and your friends, and it's just all guns blazing. I've played Killing Floor 2 with my friends. I'm always looking for just a fun multiplayer co-op shooter. I hope this comes to consoles. I don't know where Killing Floor 2 left off, but I know I played it exclusively on PC. And yeah, this is a good game. If I can get this title for $20 to $30 with my friends, we're in for a couple of fun nights. And that's what it's all about.
It is currently in development for PC, PlayStation 5, and the Xbox Series X/S consoles.
Yep.
Of course, this will be up to five teammates as they battle through. Join forces with up to five teammates as they battle through a war-ravaged dystopian future, surviving unrelenting waves of Zeds, unlocking new skills, and building the ultimate arsenal.
You know, we talk about games like Warhammer Dark Tide, right? We played that game. There was Vermintide as well. There's like these interesting like co-op shooters, and some of them hit, some of them don't. Killing Floor has a fun audience on PC. I like the style of Killing Floor more than what I did with Dark Tide. So if you were someone that really enjoyed Dark Tide, you might like this. If you didn't like Dark Tide, this is something different that I think you'll enjoy.
Keeping with the Mike games here, Age of Empires 4. Available today.
Stealth release. Here it was. They dropped it on us. I am so happy about this because there was a lot of question marks of where are we on the Xbox side of things with first party releases. We were promised a lot of dates here for 2023. Some dates got pushed. I'm looking at you, Forza. There was one, of course, Age of Empires 4, where we really didn't know when this was going to drop, right? We already had Age of Empires 2 prove that it can come to consoles and do well with the controller inputs, and it was very well done, right? So now it's awesome to see that Age of Empires 4 is here, and I think this is exactly how you do it. We don't need a lead up to Age of Empires 4. It's already been released on PC. We already know what it's all about. I don't need major reviews all over again. I don't need people going hands-on previews with this. We've proven that it can play on a console with a controller. Now it's time to drop this one. You have Age of Empires 2 and now Age 4 on Game Pass, on console, cross-play and all that. Yes, big win. Great job on this one, team.
And then next up, I want to talk about Zack Snyder coming out to talk about Rebel Moon. The movie's coming to Netflix on December 22nd for part one. Part two will be in April. And they announced they're making a game, which is the reason that they're here at Gamescom. A Rebel Moon game by Super Evil Megacorp. Greg, you looked up a little more info on that.
A bunch of stuff we never talk about. Yeah. Other games we don't know much about. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll smaller titles. Some mobile-leaning, it seemed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, not too high expectations for this, at this point, I would say. But I'm excited for the movie. I'm hopeful.
Have you seen the trailer? Cause we didn't watch the trailer, so I have no idea.
Just everything going into this. Like, I feel like,
you know, about this.
No, I don't know anything about it.
Oh, okay. We just know the guy's attached to it. That's
Okay. I mean, when you got Zack Snyder and the Snyderverse attached, come on, let's go.
Come on, man.
I just know it's like, it's what he wants his like Star Wars to be, especially with the name like Rebel Moon. Like you guys weren't able to see the trailer when I had pulled it away just because I didn't want us to get taken down on YouTube Live. But there was stuff that like legit just straight up looked like lightsabers and stuff. And it looks very like a little bit generic because of how many things it's pulling from. But there is still something interesting visually about it. And if I have to give any credit to Zack Snyder, I think as a visual kind of director, he knows what to look for, knows what to do, especially with action. So like he's doing that stuff again, but in space.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
From, of course, Super Evil Megacorp's website, they have some information that they didn't go into about the game, right? To summarize the details, this is from their blog post. We are making a Rebel Moon game. It is a four-player co-op action game. It will be exclusive to Netflix members.
Hey!
Interesting.
We are working in close collaboration with the movie team to provide an additive and detailed look at the universe and factions you'll experience in the films.
Netflix games, baby.
So let's talk about that really quick, because like the developer looks like some mobile titles, right? Because Vainglory, I played mobile MOBA. I liked it a lot. I thought it was very well done. They have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in that mix as well. You talk about the release schedule of this is in December. The next one, I believe, is April 2024. So we're hoping the game is right after that, right? Like, hey, I'm interested in this. Coming as a guy who liked Defiance, and I like the idea of like a TV show meets your video game, and we share that world all the time. If this movie is good, you got me. I'm interested. I'm interested.
I'm excited for Rebel Moon. I don't have high expectations for Rebel Moon. The game, I think there's not a chance it's above a 5 out of 10.
This all sounds terrible to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to keep talking about everything else announced at Gamescom, but real quick, here is a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all know life can be hard. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. I know from experience how often it just seems easier to care about others and keep it moving. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. For more balance with BetterHelp, visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So the next one, Crimson Desert. I would kind of say probably all of our biggest pop of the show.
That looked awesome.
Let's
that
be looked real, like Tim, every, game of the show.
100%
game of the
hand. There it is.
There we go, MVP. Baby.
Two, you get the runner-up award.
Yeah.
It caught us off guard. I didn't know anything about it. And then you were watching, like, all right, this kind of looks cool. And then they did this, and I was like, well, this kind of looks like Valhalla. And then I was like, well, the combat looks rad. And then it just kept getting more and more rad. It just looks awesome. This open world, run around, do all this stuff. I'm down. Let's go.
I like the part where he was carrying a sheep.
Yep.
That's the thing. I feel like the sheep carrying was our first.
That was the turning point.
And then it just kept going. And there kept being big moments for me.
Then he pet the dog. He carried the cat. And you're like, what's happening?
What's even going on here? For me, it was the moment he was in the sky and kind of turned into a bunch of like crows, it looked like. And then got back onto the horse. I was like, damn, dude. Like, there's some shit going on here. They're the pole vaulting moment.
That
I was like,
over the wall. Yeah.
I've never done that in a video game that I can think of. Mm-hmm. Like, that's cool that, like, yes, this game is utterly beautiful. But in a lot of ways, it just looks like pieces of things we've seen before. But then I feel like they're like, no. There's some stuff you ain't never seen. Mm-hmm.
Hot air balloon rides.
Yeah.
Name me a video game you've been in a hot air balloon.
It almost Jesus looks Kingdom. Too good to be true.
Yeah.
And that's my only worry about it is that, like, okay, is this really what it's going to be? But I think for the showing they had here, it looks really good. And yeah, toward the end, for me, it was the Sky Islands.
It gave me vibes, and I know this is a high bar, but stick with me. It gave me vibes of Assassin's Creed meets The Witcher 3. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I got that kind of thing of like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. And then he does this thing. This is where we went crazy.
Do you think you can go to those mountains over there?
Little dragon.
If you see it, you can
vibe.
Go to it. Yeah, yeah. Especially as you turn into a weird crow thing and climb this wooden man.
Of course, the team from Black Desert, which I really liked. I loved that MMO. This is exciting. A single player one. Hopefully it will control just a little bit better than the MMO. Because, of course, you put MMO gameplay on a controller. There's a lot of buttons to try to map and bind to. So I hope it's a little bit smoother than that.
That's the thing that sold me a bit more, because I went into this thinking it was MMO, because we'd seen this before at a previous showcase, and knowing it was from the Black Desert Online people, it's like, okay, this is multiplayer. All right, is this really what it's going to be like? But then, yeah, learning it's more of a single player action thing has me way more excited, because yeah, I can actually believe that this exists a bit more, and all this looks incredible. All this looks like a really good time.
That's the game, the Black Desert Online. That's the one with the incredibly deep character creation.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, there's stuff that you're just wowed by every time,
man.
And I mean, all these character models look good. This looks just like Black Desert. This is how good Black Desert looks as well.
Yeah, really, really, really impressive stuff there. Next up, we got Payday 3 coming on September 21st. We had a little Ice-T.
He knows something about heists.
Because he's in what show is he in?
SVU.
He said in my real life.
Oh, he's in his real life.
He's been there.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's
so September 21st for this one, Mike. You're the biggest Payday fan I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's more Payday.
Is he the only fan you know?
Okay. If you like Payday 1, Payday 2, you're going to really enjoy this. It is more Payday. They have added some more bells and whistles to this. Of course, they're moving into the next gen of game development, because Payday 2 was quite some time ago, right? But if you are expecting something brand new, this is not it. This is Payday, right? So you need to know what you're going into. You and your friends need to learn the stealth mechanics. You need to understand how to prep and really execute the heists. Or you're going to be just like me, where one of you is going to mess up immediately, and it's just going to be guns blazing for the next 20 minutes.
Thanks, Washy.
To happen all the time due to Washy. But if you like Payday, guess what? Payday 3 is coming, and it is a lot more good Payday.
Plus, I need to know, this is a mystery flavor. What is it?
I don't know.
I can tell you about it.
It tastes like a mystery.
Which year?
I mean, which
3 years. 2021 was candy corn.
Why the fuck do you know that?
Well,
they just ran them all.
I was like, well, why do you know that off the top of the dome?
2020. No, Mike just said that. He just pulled out the first word that came out.
Taste it? How does it taste?
It's fruit candy chews.
And what did you say?
Candy corn.
I think it's fruit candy chews.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I just looked it up because
you know
I didn't.
Little people know corn is a fruit.
I don't think that's true.
Damn, I tried.
I'm from Illinois.
Next up, we had Assassin's Creed Mirage. Was there any new info here, or was this just...
Was there even a trailer?
They said that it was in the native language, right? But I imagine that wasn't new information.
I think it was.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not, but this was at least the first time that they really showcased it. So I don't know, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to that.
Cool. Game's coming real soon. And then we got
Stabby Vest.
Tekken 8. We got the release date.
Finally.
The questions being answered. January 26, 2024. Plus, what do you think about that release date?
Where were you on January 26th? I was playing Tekken 8. this is a
check
really
the
good
online
release.
Logs. You can see
you can see it. I mean, this game continues to look incredible, and yeah, like coming off of that closed network test, I am antsy for it. This game seems like it's in a place where it's very ready, and so I think January 26th makes a lot of sense. It makes me wonder if we would have gotten it sooner if it weren't for the already super packed fighting game year that we're having and Mortal Kombat coming out this fall. But I think either way, January is setting it up for a lot of success. You don't have a lot of games coming out in January. I might be speaking out my ass, because I've not looked at the calendar yet, but I don't think there's a lot of games coming out in January.
We have a lot of Persia. Announcements. That's what we were talking about before.
I guess Prince of Persia. But either way, like Tekken 8 is a force, and so Tekken in general is a force, and so it'll be fine.
That sounds like a great spot. I think.
Right now on GameInformer.com/2024, it is just Prince of Persia on the 18th and Tekken on the 26th.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What about Justice League Kill the Suicide Squad?
That is set for February the 2nd.
Can't wait.
And also the single player arcade mode. Looks cool. When it comes to Tekken single player, depending on the iteration, I could be in or out. I like the Tekken Force stuff, but it's also very dumb fun, right? You're just doing beat 'em up gameplay. Lately in fighting games, the virtual arcades have been in. Street Fighter had one as well, right? With Street Fighter the online mode, the online lobby mode. And yeah, like I like that they're doing something different. I think the avatar stuff looks really goofy, but I still prefer this over just going into a menu and watching like the story for Tekken 7 was fucking terrible, Mike. Like it was basically really? Like, yeah, it was from like the first person of a dude that was recounting a story. And it wasn't great. I like stuff like this better. This nice. Seems like it has okay. more opportunity to be a bit more fresh cool. and interesting. And so I can't wait to check it out.
I look at this. I'm like, oh, I hate it. I yeah. hate it, man.
The story
like,
stuff?
In direct comparison to Mortal Kombat. Like, Mortal Kombat, everything I see, I get more and more hyped. I'm like, I can't wait for this campaign. It's going to be so awesome.
Yeah.
When I saw Street Fighter World Tour, I was like, I don't know about this. And I'm seeing this, I'm like, oh, I'm getting a lot of that. Seeing the first trailer for Tekken 8 with the beach, like the water smashing up against the rocks as they were fighting, I was like, I can see this translating to an incredibly cool single player. Mm. Now I'm like, okay, my hopes are being dashed, but I'm not the guy that's in there for the gameplay of it. I'm more for like, let's play to get the story and have the fun of it all. So my eyes are now shifting to Mortal Kombat MK. 1. But next up, we had Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, talking about them open world zombies, November 10th. We get a look at, they've been talking a lot recently about the more open world missions. They did not show that. They showed one of the more traditional cinematic style Call of Duty missions. Mike, you want to take this one?
We're going to breach and clear.
I'm super excited about this, right? Because we are continuing after Modern Warfare 2. So it is awesome to have Sledgehammer coming in to help the team and build out this campaign. Of course, the big news is zombies coming to Modern Warfare for the first time ever. Open world zombies is going to be very interesting. If you played the Blackout zombies recently, they really did, like Black Ops zombies, they really did expand the zombies universe instead of just being in tight corridors. It did feel much bigger on like kind of open fields running around back and forth. So it will be exciting to see what is zombies now, because everyone loves zombies. On the multiplayer side, it is exciting for me personally. I know a lot of people are mixed on the idea of just bringing back the 2007, 2009 Modern Warfare 2 maps, but I love the idea of like, give us those maps for modern times, and then they'll release more maps. I believe they said 16 over the course of the lifespan of new maps. So it's going to be cool to go back to those old school maps. And then as for the story and the campaign, very fun idea to open it up and allow you to kind of do the Metal Gear Solid 5 of like, go in and infiltrate how you want to on these different missions, instead of just the very linear, go from point A to point B to point C to point D and have the big bombastic moments. I like this. I want them to try. Last year they tried crafting and a lot of people didn't care for the crafting. So what will they do here? I'm excited for it. More Call of Duty is awesome.
Mike, this being the second Modern Warfare 3, we've seen it many, many iterations of Call of Duty over the years. Is this what you would want most? Like, are we just at a point that like they've given you it all and like now it is just kind of like, yeah, give me what I liked before, but in a slightly different package? Or are you like, man, they keep missing the mark because I'm looking for this and they're not delivering?
No, this is what I want. I'm thinking in my mind they're delivering exactly what I want. Have they really missed the mark with Warzone? Yeah, I think we really would have had a much stronger Call of Duty community and a Call of Duty product if Warzone 2 didn't miss the mark a year ago or whenever that dropped, right? I think they just kind of missed it from that Warzone 1 super hype into Modern Warfare 2 into Black Ops, right? We had like this kind of phase where everything was firing on all cylinders, and then Warzone started to stumble, and then we hit Vanguard, of course, and it's like, okay, nobody wanted to go back to that when we were really singing on what Black Ops and Modern Warfare was. We went to Vanguard, and that was the big stumble. We brought it back up recently with Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and right now we are in a weird phase, right? Being purchased by Xbox, people want Call of Duty to now go into a different mode than annualization and not being dropped every single year. Well, what does that look like, right? And so you're kind of seeing a small half step to that, right? Like, we're not taking a full year off, but we're also not giving you a full package, right? So like, where does this fall? Will it feel like a full package to people buying that game? Does it look like that? Does it look like a much more tighter package of like, hey, we're giving you old maps because we didn't want to make new maps. We didn't want to give you a big story campaign. So maybe we only have like 8 missions on this, right? So like, there's pieces of this that kind of look different, but I'm excited about this. This is what I want. I want more of the Task Force. I want more Modern Warfare because that's the place I prefer. I think every Call of Duty gamer is different, though, is the best part.
Next up, we
no
have
no two are alike.
No two are alike.
Nightingale, early access coming Groundhog's Day, February 2nd, 2024. Anyone popping off for this one?
No, this is the one, like I said, I saw. It's a survival game. It's got the whole Mary Poppins look mixed with the fantasy stuff. Aaron Flynn, formerly of BioWare, is the guy behind this with his studio. I took the demo 2 SGFs ago and didn't leave going, I must play that, but left going, oh, I could see this being a big deal for those kind of players, people who want to get into that world. They have a whole narrative for why it's happening, the way it's happening, what's going on, and the survival aspect of it. But it doesn't move the needle just because I'm not that type of gamer.
February 22nd, by the way.
I like it because I like the freshness. I think a lot of these games, you put so much time into these survival games that it starts to feel kind of repetitive of like same biomes, same animals that you're killing and fighting. This one feels a little more fresh of like, hey, there's some weird freaky deaky looking animals in this Mary Poppins world. You're going to go through these different weird portals to go to a new world and maybe grab those supplies, come back to yours. It looked like when you were building out, right, each one of those little places that they built out their settlements looked different each time. So I am hoping for something, right? Because we've seen games like Void Train come out. We've seen The Raft. We've played Valheim. Like, these are a hot genre right now, but I think someone needs to bring some freshness into it. I am waiting for you, Ark 2, with Vin Diesel, but I'll wait for that.
One day. You're going to keep waiting.
I'm going to keep waiting for that.
All Quiet on the West.
Been a while. Next up, we had Granblue Fantasy Relink coming on February 1st here. Cygames is the publisher. Bless, anything?
No.
No? Okay. Anybody, anything?
No.
Yeah, yeah. And then Immortals of Avium had a little section here. Nothing too crazy. Greg, you already talked about this a couple times, but
3 out of 5 on the Kind of Funny review scale. An okay game. Doesn't live up to its potential. We did a little thing, me and Mike, during the pre-show for Gamescom. You'll be able to catch it soon as a YouTube short and TikTok.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really good one. If you want to check out Greg's review, we had a great 15-20 minute conversation. If you want to really know about this game, I encourage you to watch that. I thought it was really good.
Conversation was a 5. Then we get into the Hoyoverse stuff here, a little back-to-back-to-back action with Zenless Zone Zero kicking it off. Bless, what do you think?
I like this segment. Zenless Zone Zero, again, continues to look really cool, right? If you're unfamiliar, it's another Hoyoverse, Hoyoverse being the folks behind Genshin Impact. It's another game coming from them. Still doesn't have, like, a release window or release date that bums me out, right? Like, I'm at the point where I just want to know when I can get my hands on this thing. But stylistically, it continues to deliver, right? You got a really cool, I don't even know what I would call this, cyberpunk mixed with like some really cool futuristic stuff going on here. But like, they still have that similar anime style that they had from Genshin Impact, and it looks really fun. It looks really cool. It has more actiony gameplay, and some of the stuff they showed off in this trailer is like some weird 2D arcade stuff that looks different. And like, again, I don't know where it fits in the game, but again,
seems weird, right?
It seems
for
weird
them to be advertising this before the game's like really.
Yeah, like hooked. I mean, it's one that I think is going to sell people when it's out and everybody shows up for it, right? Like, I think Hoyoverse has done a good enough job creating a fan base that now looks forward to their releases, because like, Genshin Impact already has a big fan base, but then you follow that up with Honkai Star Rail, and I've heard such good things about Honkai Star Rail to the point where legitimately, like, once it comes to PlayStation, which is tomorrow, I'm gonna pick it up. I might not pick it up tomorrow because I got, like, eventually I'm gonna hop on Honkai Star Rail to see what that's about, because a lot of people have very glowing things to say. Like, they have hooks that bring people in. Now, some of those hooks are gacha stuff, right? And like, I, like many people, I'm not necessarily a big fan of that aspect, but there is core gameplay stuff that Hoyoverse has in things like Genshin Impact, and from what I've heard out of Honkai Star Rail, that really works for people. And so, yeah, like, Zenless Zone Zero, I'm already sold on. Like, I've seen enough. Like, I'm ready for it to just have a date.
So then Honkai Star Rail coming to PS5 on August 23rd.
Yeah.
Are you interested in giving that a shot on PS5?
I'm going to give it a shot on PS5. This trailer did nothing for me. Right, like, this trailer confused me honestly a little bit, because it was just like, All right, let's show you characters walking around. And like, the trailer felt like they're doubling down on the waifu aspects of the game, which I know is for some people, right? And I'm sure chat will say it's for me. But like, I want to see more. I want to see what that gameplay looks like. I want to see what that loop looks like. And like, they showed none of that in the trailer. It was just like fan servicey type stuff, which kind of unsold me a little bit. But I'm still gonna check it out regardless.
And then Genshin Impact had a bit there too. I didn't catch the news of it. There's going to be a concert coming later this year. Greg, you put down S here. Do you know what that meant?
No, I started writing something and then there was like no news in the thing.
Got it.
So
cool.
Will it be a concert in the game?
That'd be cool.
I like in-game concerts. They're pretty cool.
But like Genshin is more single player. Like there's some multiplayer, but it's not like a big Fortnite type thing. So I don't know if they'd be able to do that.
Then next up, we had Lords of the Fallen coming October 13th. Bless, you did a preview of this one?
Yeah, Lords of the Fallen is a really cool upcoming fantasy action game, right? It has sort of a Souls-like vibe to it. And yeah, I got to play a few hours of this game, and I had a really good time with it, right? Like, it has that production behind it that makes it feel like it is a Soulsy FromSoft, like really good looking environments, really meaty combat. The gimmick that this one has is like there are two worlds that are kind of working in tandem that you're playing in at the same time. They're called, let's see, Umbral, I believe, is like the death world, and then Axiom is the real world. And so
cool. When
you die in Axiom, you then rise in Umbral, and then you have like sort of a second chance at life before you die again, and then you have to like restart at the checkpoint. But yeah, like it seems really cool. The last Lords of the Fallen game was forever ago, and one of the things that the dev talked about when he was showing me the preview was the fact that this one is more modern, it's more grounded, it's more gritty, it's more bloody, it's more realistic, and it's darker. And so like if all those buzz terms sound good to you, that's what you're getting out of this. And even if you look at gameplay footage, like so much of it is bloody, so much of it is gory, so much of it is going for that almost like shock factorness of, you know, seeing something that looks grotesque. They are doubling down on all that stuff, and it comes through when you're in the fights. And a lot of the fights were really cool when I did the boss fights, right? Again, it is also the bigger than life stuff that you get out of a Souls like type of game. And yeah, like I had a really good time when I played it. It sold me on it more. Like I want to pick it up when it comes out.
So we are just about the halfway mark through all the different things shown off. So quite a bit of things here. There's 38 total. We're moving on to number 19 here with Sonic Superstars, a date of October 17th. I thought the presentation in this one was a little bit weird. There was no setup for it. It just kind of started and felt very much like a commercial. And this trailer felt very commercially, and I don't think it did its job. I'm really not sold on this trailer, showing a lot of things that I'm like, oh man, this is what I like least about what my fears were for this game. Focusing on the multiplayer side of it. We played it. It does feel good. The abilities seem interesting from what we played with the waterfall stuff. And we see something here where there's like many Sonics and all that. But that October 17th release date, I think, is doing such a disservice to this game, not just because, oh, we have so much going on, but because that means it's directly in competition with Super Mario Wonder, a game that is also focusing on the four player multiplayer, two D platformer thing, with, you know, a classic mascot like Mario and Sonic. It's going to be a tough sell for this one. This is a game that
Tim,
I already
not going to be a competition. Sonic is just going to outpace Mario 100%.
I mean, like
he's faster, man.
Sega does what Nintendo don't.
10% or less, man, and that's. It's just upsetting because I do think that there's a quality game here that could potentially have its moment, but I think they're not going to have it because of that. What do you think, Bless?
No, I'm 1,000% with you, right? And like, not only is it just Mario versus Sonic, right? But then you throw in Spider-Man 2 into the mix coming out 3 days after that. You throw in Lords of the Fallen coming out 4 days before that. You throw in Hot Wheels Unleashed coming out the next day. And I know not all these are big hitters.
You throw in a bunch of games that should be run in the opposite direction of Sonic Superstars.
I mean, fair. Very fair. But it's just like, it's just crowded regardless, right? It's not even, it stops being about the names of the games at some point. It starts to be about like the noise, yeah, and just like the, oh yeah, there's so many different options now. Like everybody's getting split between all these different things. And like, honestly, the thing that people are going to flock to the most are Spider-Man and Mario. Like, at the end of the day, those are going to be the two winners out of that period. And so, you know, I hope to see Sonic do well. I hope to see that game come out and prove us wrong in terms of, you know, what all that content looks like. Again, I know we're sold on the gameplay aspect of it, but the art style, the presentation, and, like, the multiplayer stuff is where I want to see that game shine as well. And I think the proof's going to be in the pudding. I think, you know, once we get our hands on it, that's going to be the when we can make that judgment.
Really quick, how likely is it, even with like an announced date, do you think they try to push it at all at this point?
I mean, I think if they were going to, I think they would have already. Like, they've known these dates for months now, right? Mm-hmm. And like,
we've known this date. Like,
we've known this May. Yeah, this date leaked in June? June-ish. It's been out for months. And the fact that they've gotten to the point where it's like, hey, let's announce our release date, and that is the release date they announced, that makes me think that they just don't care about the other things going on, that they're just like, hey, you know, we're just gonna keep this this course. I wonder if it's a thing of in November, they already have a couple of games coming out between Persona 5 Tactica and the Yakuza game coming out. Maybe they're like, hey, Sega already has a packed November. We don't want to move Sonic there. And maybe they don't want to move it out of the year either. Maybe they want to get it out before holiday. Like, these are all things that I think could make sense, but October
just wanted to
it.
Pose the question.
Yeah. I wish they would. I mean, honestly, I think the move, actually, I guess this is not really a good move. I was going to say maybe replace the Sonic release date and the Yakuza release date, but that then you're just putting up Yakuza in a weird place too. So
yeah. Very interesting. We'll have to see. But Sonic Frontiers, the Final Horizon DLC is coming. I had this date here. No, I don't.
Oh, for Sonic Frontiers?
Yeah.
It is
there's new
September
story.
28th.
September 28th. The Final new story, Horizon. Characters, and challenges there. We got a little teaser, him turning supersonic. Any chance you're getting back to Frontiers for this?
No, absolutely not. I'm too busy playing Cyberpunk.
Then we had First Descendant, a looter shooter. We have an open beta coming September 19th.
Looter shooter!
Anyone actually interested in this one?
Was this the cool looking
one? This was the one with the whip that they started moving. We were like, oh, wow, okay. Yeah. Movement, traversal, gunplay looking kind of cool on this one.
I'd want to try this one.
I really want to try it. Yeah,
you do want to try it.
Okay. I like a good looter shooter. You know that about me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe set up a station in there, you know?
On PlayStation.
If it's possible.
Just for you.
We'll screw me over again.
We'll try this. We'll try this. We're always open to trying new things and checking out some fun shooters. Looter shooter, when you think looter shooter, where does your mind go to?
Borderlands,
right? Like, is it that kind of looter shooter? Of course, another looter shooter that I think of that Andy loved and I absolutely hated. What was it called, Greg? Do you remember? You know. Where's Jakob?
Yeah. Outriders.
Outriders.
I loved it, too. I don't know why Andy gets
and I feel like that one, I feel like this game could be more of an Outriders type
can
of vibe.
Can I see, Bear, can you toss me out the trailer again? Show me some.
Cool bunny looking helmet.
Did you ever notice
Cyberpunk world?
Anything? This could be a song right now.
Make it.
Where's Andy?
I'm going to mute your mic in a second.
I got three other ones to find. Don't worry about it.
Yes, we're looking up the First Descendant from Nexon, again, with the September 19th through 25th beta.
Nexon big here. Nexon
big in general.
Big. Good for them.
Not EA Sports big, you know. Just right, Nexon college big. Fucking football.
Come on, Tim. You think about college football starts on Saturday.
So my thing with this trailer, when they introduces
I'm
a new
the game,
looter shooter.
Yeah, also true.
I rolled my eyes real quick at looter shooter just because, like, I mean, I think the first thing I brought up was Godfall. I know that's a looter slasher, but
yeah.
Still, I looter shooters do so little for me. But then
and
I
saw that helmet.
I saw the helmet. Everybody and I was like, helmet. That's weird. But then, like, she did this one thing where, like, she got the whip and then flew up and it looked really cool.
It's Mama.
It does look like Mama.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't get Death Stranding too.
Cool. We're gonna get to the good part. We're gonna get to the good part. If you're an audio
start,
thing,
Tim.
They're doing the trailer. They're putting some stuff in their back.
Goes invisible.
Invisa.
Like, oh, okay. There's gonna be
skills. It's like, whoa. Yeah, jumping snipies.
And yeah, like, cool. The trailer keeps looking more and more cool. 360 no scoop. As it goes.
I like this.
Power of the Sun in the palm of my hands. Otto Octavius.
It's gonna have a skill tree. It's gonna have different guns.
What was that? What's that game? Lost Planet.
Lost Planet.
Yeah. What's that game? Yeah. Lost Planet.
Okay. Nobody's talked about Lost Planet.
Nobody's talking about Lost Planet.
You're right.
But the First Descendant, I think, is bringing back the Lost Planet vibes that we all loved and missed.
Okay.
Preach.
Then we had Under the Waves, August 29th. We've seen this one before.
SGF. It's, you know, psychological underwater game. Of course, that screams Greg Miller. I'm excited to try it eventually. August 29th, yeah. I'm going to be busy. Sorry, the dance card's pretty full right now. I don't know if I'm tossing in another.
August 29th, what you doing, Greg?
I'll be playing Starfield.
You'll be playing Starfield.
Let me hit him with a couple of questions, because I'm very interested in this game, but I am getting mixed signals from you in this game. If I don't know quite where this is. Is this a Greg single player, I'm going to cry because I lost my mother? Or is this a Subnautica build my base out and I get to explore the underwater, you know, world like in Dave the Diver, where I'm in that submarine and I'm getting lost in it?
Under the Waves is a narrative-driven adventure game about the engulfing power of grief.
Mm-hmm.
There's your answer. Done.
Wow.
You're going to be a great game. Goddamn eyes out. Set in the depths of the North Sea in a techno-futuristic 1970s, professional diver Stan is struggling to overcome a life-changing loss and embrace a new future. Already I'm in.
It looks so good. I just want to explore.
Is it his wife? Is it kid? Either way,
I don't want
it. Is it his dog? Anything can happen. Break me. Break me, Parallel Studio. I'm a bucking Bronco. I need to be broke.
Holy shit.
I love that.
Fort Solace was next. This. It's out today. Everyone was surprised about that.
I was like, is it? And then we Googled the reviews. Man, I was like, ooh.
Zero marketing going into that.
Yeah, but right. A couple butthole jokes.
I keep
some
thinking this
odd Troy Baker butthole jokes in there.
I missed it. Like, what did he say about his butthole?
Roger
Clark Craig. Oh, yeah,
a really bad pre-written joke that didn't go over well.
Gotcha. Oh, that was a pre-written joke. I thought that was like a Greg Miller off the cuff. I'm a bucking Bronco and I want to
know.
I pre-wrote that too.
It feels off the cuff. Yeah,
I'm going to play this though. I'll talk about this on some kind of funny content. I will play this week.
You know, you don't have to play it.
Yeah, I want to check it out though.
The verdict from PC Gamer is a 40 out of 100. The synopsis is: if Fort Solace really was a Netflix series, it wouldn't get a second season. There's nothing fundamentally disagreeable here with the intent to harness the cutting edge tech of Unreal 5 in the service of a short narrative heavy game that isn't your typical AAA fodder. Yet it's impossible to ignore that titles such as Gone Home made collecting documents and finding keys more intriguing and even thrilling a decade ago. And none of these visual bells and whistles or voice talent with none of these visual bells and whistles. In contrast, Fort Solace fails to convince it has a story that deserves telling or that has the right methods to tell it. All the production values in the world can't save it from that.
Look how good Mike's hair looks right now.
Thank you. You know,
yeah.
Him?
You?
When Fort Solace first came on screen, Tim thought it said fart souls, and I think that's really funny.
God. Come on.
Someone make that game right now. Someone make that game right now.
Devolver fart souls. It writes itself.
Right there.
I'm gonna text him right now.
You're going to text Devolver?
Yeah.
Hey, Devolver.
Mr. Devolver.
What's her name?
Nina Struthers.
There it is.
Yes. Expeditions, a Mudrunner game, was up next, followed by The Crew Motorfest. Was this a good idea or a bad idea, Mike?
I mean, Mudrunner looked dope. Crew Motorfest, that's a tough one for you, Tim. I don't know about
that. See, I'm on the other side of it. I thought the crew looked kind of good.
Really? This Mudrunner looked cool, bro.
But I'm also
this one's got a metal detector, an echo sound locator when you're in the mud and the water.
I'm sure this will be a better game than the Crew Motorfest. But also, I'm not a Mudrunner guy.
I texted Devolver and I said, fart souls. You're welcome.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Do we have anything more to say about either of these here?
Really quick, I just Bless and I have talked about this a few times. The crew being set in Hawaii for the next game.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool.
And it having more of a Forza Horizon setup to it as opposed to traditional The Crew, I think is a good idea.
Yeah.
I just need the execution to be there. Yeah, the car had Rubicon on it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, like I just need to see how it feels on the controller and stuff, and at that point I'll get lost.
It's the tough thing too, where like what messed me up is that Lego game I was looking forward to.
Yeah,
that open world racing
2K
Lego
Drive
game.
Or whatever.
2K Drive, because I played a little bit of it.
That came and went,
and I realized that like, oh wait, I could just play Forza. Like Forza Horizon still exists, and so I think that's what this game's kind of going up against in my mind of me picking it up and going, why am I playing the Crew Motorfest when I can just play Forza?
I mean, dude, me and Greg watched the Gran Turismo movie, and legitimately, I'm not even joking about this. I liked the movie a lot, but I was like, man, a Forza Horizon movie could be freaking awesome.
Oh, hell yeah!
So
that's Fast and the Furious.
But like really going through with the whole festival that they're
doing. Yeah, the festival,
the Horizon Festival. Yeah, yeah.
The upbeat vibes, the colors, the
music,
the Halo vehicles,
the announcer. Like, come on.
Then racing a train.
We got Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty coming on September 26th. They showed off a bit more here. Shit looks great.
I'm so excited for this. RPGs are back.
They are back, and I'm incredibly stoked about this one. I still got to get it redownloaded and get my feet wet with my Kevin character, and then I'll be set to go.
The RPG of the year conversation might be kind of insane. It's because I keep forgetting about Cyberpunk coming out.
Yeah.
Because I think that has a chance if this comes through and delivers.
When it has really have a chance.
It has the chance to be the Cyberpunk we wanted it to be at launch.
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
I think Baldur's Gate.
Well, I'm talking about nominations. Baldur's Gate will be RPG of the year.
Yeah.
Or else, like, there's going to be something wrong. But, like, I think when we get to the nominations, right? Like, between Baldur's Gate 3 and Starfield coming out and other RPGs that have come out.
You're named three now. You've named three.
Well, there's Final Fantasy, but people in chat will get mad at me for calling Final Fantasy. There's Octopath Traveler, too, that people always want to talk about.
That's the gift of Devolver text back.
Oh, they're in.
They're in, buddy.
They're in.
We just made money, y'all.
But, Cyberpunk, watching this trailer is a reminder of, like, oh yeah, this might be one of my most anticipated RPGs of the year. Ooh. Like this game, I got to play it at Summer Game Fest and I had such a fun time with that preview and looking at the trailer and being reminded of all the overhaul stuff they did. They're like, yeah, we are finally making the Cyberpunk that we wanted to make, that like y'all deserved at launch. And already people like it, right? Like already with the updates we do have, people have turned around on Cyberpunk. So you're telling me you're going to overhaul it way even more than that, like go into the skill trees, fix the cops, fix all this stuff. Like, yeah, this sounds awesome. This looks awesome.
The new Ways to Play trailer also highlighted the game's redesigned perk system, showing off some brand new perks that offer players more impactful gameplay options and the ability to take down enemies in thrilling original ways. Enemy AI and combat will also be improved, making fights more dynamic. Another major overhaul revealed in the trailer is the new police system. Police AI has been improved, meaning the NCPD will respond to player actions in more realistic and engaging ways, including setting up roadblocks, attempting to ram players off the road, and more. That's just tip of the iceberg on everything that's here.
Next up, we had Stormgate, which I was a little upset we weren't getting too much new info on, but then they did announce the Chainsmokers are doing music for it, yeah. So we can all rest easy tonight.
That'll be interesting, because that's like Blizzard devs making something that looks like a StarCraft / Warcraft type vibe. So,
are you a StarCraft Warcraft guy?
I'm a Warcraft 3 type of guy.
So
I love RTS.
Is this something you're like, ooh?
That's my intention. I don't think I will jump into that, but we'll see. You never know. If people are like, yo, this is a fun like RTS, you should jump in, I'll give it a try. The look is there. The look is there for sure. Chainsmokers going to have the beats.
Definitely.
You saw them once.
I've been to a couple Chainsmokers shows in my day.
You have?
I'll tell you what. It's a good time.
The Hans Solo in chat says, Chainsmokers suck, !
Okay, well, that's not true. That's okay. Not true.
Well, that's not true. Not true. I love you so much, Mike. Then they did the Green Studio of the Year Award.
And it went to Xbox. It was Xbox.
They're green.
Okay, well,
honestly, it's awesome. Like that's cool. It's cool.
They made the environmentally friendly Xbox, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Controller.
Yeah, yes, they did all. That's why they won. Yeah.
It's a big deal. They're making a big push on that.
They also made some mini fridges. You know that I'm sure are great. But hey, you know what? We're not doing.
They also make a billion different Xbox controllers.
We don't talk
and also
about
Microsoft as a whole, like as a larger company, definitely it doesn't.
I'm sure, Bill Gates is responsible for half the
shout out to the game for Gamescom for hosting an award like that. That's nice to give some recognition, and of course, most importantly, starting pushing that into the conversation. Hopefully, more. You know, game developers, publishers, giant corporations, take note of that and help us stay on planet Earth a little bit longer.
I mean, Mike, it must be really, really exciting to see Xbox win an award on a stage.
Felt good.
It already went.
Felt good, y'all.
DJ ID4, maybe it's already half gone. They go, and they didn't ship any games, so there's like no carbon emissions. Trucks driving around.
You're crazy. That's
I'm sure. Yeah, that's like five copies of Prince boxes. The five copies of Redfall didn't destroy the environment.
God, dude. Oh, we are going to hell. Then last Epoch.
You got it.
Epoch coming September 7th. The Rune Master.
Another action RPG. It's already been out. It's in early access on PC or whatever. Yeah, so you're getting the Rune Master on there. We were talking. Jeff was like, what a big year for action RPGs. Big old Snowbike Mike over here called me out. Are you going to play this one? And I was like, I don't know. And I Googled and just PC. Get the hell out of here. Mm.
Yeah, Greg is actively on the hunt for more ARPGs, which I really like, right? Like,
you know, I love a good ARPG.
You got bit by the bug of Diablo. You're back on this. And you're like, yo, I would be willing to try new ones. And it's like, okay, cool. Put it on consoles.
What was that one? We saw one at SGF maybe that we liked, that we thought was cool. I forget in the trailer rundown. Maybe it was Game Awards. Doesn't matter.
Do you think we'll ever fix genres?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's really annoying.
This is a conversation for a different time, but like I just will not accept that Horizon Forbidden West is being called an action
Path of
RPG.
Exile. I don't even think it's an RPG.
Here's the thing though, I think is where one of the things, right, is that we're expanding on it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chad, the way I've always understood it, like a Diablo, right, is an ARPG in the way a Baldur's Gate is a CRPG.
Uh-huh.
So you really wouldn't say action RPG. You would say ARPG and know that that means that, whereas an action RPG, I think, goes that way with it, where you toss that and you toss in an Outriders, we're talking about or whatever.
Blurred lines.
I the know song? You won't it.
No, just, Robin I mean, Thicke? Just in general, like, stop.
Blurred, we don't, you know? He's dead, right?
Emily Ratajkowski?
What?
Wait, did Robin Thicke die?
No.
No.
Okay. Alan Thicke died.
Kill Robin Thicke.
I met Robin Thicke at No Way Home from Spider-Verse.
He was there?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't talk to him. I'd be too intimidated because he's been.
Bless, I think you did.
Bless every single thing you go to, you should talk to these people.
I did not know that was Robin Thicke. Wait, show me a picture of Robin Thicke, somebody.
Oh, man, whatever.
This man's learning today what Zack Snyder looks like and what Robin Thicke looks like.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Yo, that was Robin Thicke. I thought it was just a guy.
Oh, my Lord.
I thought that was a dude. He was cool.
Next up, my boy Ben Brode comes out talking about Marvel Snap. It's on Steam now. You can get it. Showed another little fun animated trailer for this thing. I love Marvel Snap. Armored Core 6, get a little trailer for that. It's dropping very, very soon. When's it come out?
Friday.
Yeah, we're going to play it on stream here.
You're going to look like a weird metal bug, you know? They all look like bugs.
We're going to make some metal bugs on stream Friday. We're going to check it out. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time.
Then we had Warhaven coming on September 21st.
Early access, yeah.
Early access to E... Oh, wait, no, wait.
I somehow missed a bunch of games in my notes, and I swear to God, you're just making shit up.
Yeah,
Warhaven?
No, real talk?
Early
I read this. Greg wrote this one down. I don't have it on my notes either. This might have been the Buffalo Wild Wings break. Presented by Buffalo Wild Wings.
Warhaven. September 21st. Early access Steam presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. This is a free-to-play PvP medieval fantasy warfare game.
This game looked like Mordow for a second. Okay, yep. Mm-hmm.
Then after Warhaven, we got Mortal Kombat 1. Bless. What do you think?
I've never been so excited for a Mortal Kombat game. And I'm somebody who, historically, I fucking love Mortal Kombat, right? Like, I look forward to every single one. This one is doing things differently. Like, all the story stuff that they're showing off has been some of the most exciting things. I think they've been treating the character reveals all the right ways. Like, the each character reveal trailer is kind of revealing them in factions, right? They're revealing them in groups. And as soon as somebody mentioned Outworld, immediately I was like, oh, we're getting Shao Kahn, we're gonna get Sindel, we're gonna get some more Outworld people. And I'm still not sure if this is Shao Kahn or if they're just calling him General Shao or whatever in this game, but either way, I think that's cool, right? The fact that they can take this character who he is, right, and give him this different sort of angle and like make that seem fresh. I loved seeing his moveset here. I loved seeing the axe be the center of how he fights. Sindel looks sick. Like, I like that they're, this is gonna sound ridiculous, I like that they're expanding on the hair combat.
Yeah,
like,
good,
all the moves that she's doing there with her hair, I'm like, this looks insane.
I have a game for you, Bless.
Oh, what was it?
Bayonetta.
Oh, I need to get back to Bayonetta. But yeah, like, that stuff looks cool. Having Motaro as a cameo fighter, having Shujinko as a cameo fighter is fucking insane. But then, of course, Raiden being Liu Kang's champion, one, is really cool just for the reversed nature of it. But then also is interesting because I could have sworn in one of the first trailers we got, what was his name? My guy, Kung Lao. Mm-hmm. Kung Lao was the champion. I could have sworn that was the setup for it, is that Kung Lao was going to be Liu Kang's champion. And so I want to know what happened.
Or maybe there's like a time jump. Maybe like we start off with him and then he dies and then this is like the rest of it.
Didn't they set it up that they were brothers?
Who were brothers?
No. That was Scorpion Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, Liu Kang is God. Raiden's just a dude. And then Kung Lao, who knows what role he's playing, but maybe it's both him and Raiden. I don't know. But this looks fucking amazing.
It looks freaking amazing, man. Like, the gameplay itself is utterly fantastic, but the cutscenes, man, it's just like, dude, there, nobody does it like NetherRealm, man. I can't wait for this. We're getting so close.
Yeah,
and I think we've got a banger on our hands. Ara History Untold was next up.
It was an Untold game. History
Untold History 40x game.
40x.
Yeah. No, 6X?
No, it's a 4X game. It's a strategy game. It's not 6X, it's a 4X.
4X. Oh, you said 4DX.
Well, I was thinking about the movie theaters, okay?
Think about that. Duh, time. Guys, fucking
Mike,
keep
getting a little sleepy here. I see his eye.
Untold, it looks cool. Looks cool.
I was thinking
not
6X.
My style of game.
Then we got Diablo Season 2, Season of Blood, coming woo! October 17th with a new character, the vampire Huntress Eris, played by Gemma Chan. It's free. Is this Greg?
Yeah.
Diablo guy here.
Yeah, hey, it's me, Greg.
You excited about this? Is
very
this
excited.
Too soon? Is this too...
The
is
first
this right?
season was too soon.
Okay.
There's been a lot of chatter in the Diablo community this past week about people who have fallen off, what Blizzard needs to do but they're talking about like the crazy kids who are playing like gajillion hours in like France, the France of it all. For me, I still think that season one came too quickly. I would have liked to have more time with just the base game. But Jen and I jumped into season one and we enjoyed it. I've played more without her because she's been so busy. Obviously now we're swamped and everything else, yada, yada, yada. But Season of Blood, doing a vampire season right there at Halloween, that sounds perfect. I'm excited to get in there, have some vampiric abilities.
Yeah, you know? Very cool. Season two.
Then next up we had Dustborn, early 2024.
Yeah, so Dustborn is a really interesting one. I have a request for developers.
Okay.
If you do a preview of your game, please don't make the embargo 2 months later, because I will not remember any of the details.
Sure.
I do have a... So I played this game, or I didn't play this game. Me and Andy watched the presentation of this game at Summer Game Fest. It was about like a 30 minute to an hour long demo. And I was telling you, Greg, that like with every new beat that they showed, both me and Andy were like, wow, this is a Greg-ass video game. I have all my notes here, right? So I'm just going to run through. Actually, no, I'll start this up by running through the Steam description so we can set the stage, right? Dustborn is a single-player, story-driven action-adventure game about hope, love, friendships, robots, and the power of words. You play as Pax, Exile, con artist, Anomal, with the ability to weaponize language. Looking for a new life and a way out, Pax has been hired to transport an important package from Pacifica to Nova Scotia across the justice-controlled American Republic. Sounds like a legit reason for a road trip, right? So basically, it's a road trip game with a comic book art style where it's you and your band. Each of you guys have these different abilities. Like I mentioned before in the write-up for it, Pax has this ability called Vox, where she can use her words as weapons. And so one of the things that they showed in the preview that I did were, like, her friends were arguing in the car, and Pax was getting annoyed by it. So, like, she eventually just says, shut up, and everybody just quiets down because that's the power that she has. But all of her friends also have powers. And so her friend Sai uses words to protect herself. And, like, she can basically alter her body with words. And so, like, she can, like, turn herself into a block and stuff by just saying, like, saying those things out loud.
Cool? Because this sounds not cool. I won't lie to you. When I saw it, I was like, oh, it's a speaking game, and it's going to be true. And I was like, that sounds nice. And then I was like, that sounds dumb.
When they said it, I was like, this sounds dumb also. Yeah. But I think that combined with a lot of other things makes it sound really interesting. Like, it sounds like a jack of many trades, and I'm curious and I'm curious to see, like, how many of those they actually achieve. And so, like, another one they talked about is that Noam, another character, can gaslight people. So his vocals...
I think I might have dated him once.
His vocals can cancel out strong emotion.
I gotcha.
So they do, like, a lot of interesting weird things
with that. Can we see the trailer again? Barrett, I didn't get any of this from watching the thing. Like a talkie game, and I was like, yeah. Are these people talking? That's great. I like that.
The characters all sing because they're all part of a band, and so you'll get into, like, these mini games where you...
And I still got so much. I still have, like... So much. I'm shell-shocked from OFK, so it's like, that turns me off too.
One of the things that they showed off, and it was, like, way after they showed us this segment where me and Andy are like, okay, cool, it's like kind of a narrative weird game. This game is an action game. Like, there's a segment where we show up to a baseball field and actually fight people. Time out.
Mr. Anderson says it's not cool, so it's definitely a Greg game. Yo, fuck off, man. See, this looks fun.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, this the combat was the part where I was like, this looks janky, but it looks like it's doing enough to get us through it, right? Like,
okay,
give us something fresh and, like, get us to the next thing. The thing that stuck out to me the most, though, like, aside from, like, the weird narrative and cool art style and all this stuff, was the fact that as you play the game, you are creating a comic book with your choices. And so you get back to the hub area, and there's a comic book you can pick up, and it is telling the story of the things that you just did,
okay,
based on the decisions that you've made in the story thus far.
Okay.
And so by the time you finish the game, you'll have a full comic book of your adventure. I thought that was really cool, and me and Andy were like, yo, this is some Greg shit right here. But yeah, it does a lot. It seems very thoughtful in, like, the dialogue and how they talk to each other, and it seems like a Greg-esque sort of tone to it, whereas everything's kind of, like, you know, soft and mushy and emotional.
Sure.
And yeah, I thought it looked neat. Like, it didn't blow me
rough.
It didn't blow me away in any single one of his elements. And I'm with you that I think a lot of parts of it look rough. But the more they talked about it, the more I'm like, all right, like, you guys are doing something here. And, like, it seems really different. It seems different from anything I've played. And so I kind of want to check it out when it comes out.
Cool. Quick aside, can you believe, like, Goodbye Volcano High is out, like, next week?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
Is it really?
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been building that for a long time.
Wow. Next up, we had the penultimate game shown. Thank goodness you're here. It's coming to PC and Switch. Very Cartoon Network-esque look in this one. Semi what used to be Adult Swim, I would say, has morphed into the more Cartoon Network vibe.
Yeah.
But also like animation. Hulu, like Hulu original cartoon shows, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It looked... It's one of those games you look at it and you're like, I don't know exactly how the gameplay is going to work on this one. It's definitely for somebody. And then it ended with Alan Wake 2 talking all about that Nightmare Dimension, October 27th. This shit looks very cool. Very high quality.
Very
the
scary.
Live action mixing and stuff, I'm not sold on. Them talking about it, I was pretty into it. Seeing it in action reminds me a little too much of Twisted Metal 2012.
And like wow.
Parts of, like, do you not see that here? Like, especially with like the over editing of it all. I wonder.
Yeah, but I wonder how much that trailer.
Yeah, is that not a trailer?
That's what I'm saying.
No, the live action's in the game. They were saying.
Oh, really? Okay.
Didn't they say that?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they have that in the control though? Wasn't that really Handsome Man like a live action thing?
Yeah.
But it wasn't like this, like on the nose. I think it's gonna be distorted. It's in the dark place or whatever they called it, the nightmare dimension. I think it's. I think it'll work. I'm with it. I can't wait.
I played enough Hellblade. Hellblade did some weird things. I like weird FMV.
I remember Quantum Break. Yeah.
But Quantum Break just had a TV episodes, right?
But it had the characters from the game. Like they crossed over.
Yeah. We'll see. But yeah, Alan Wake 2 looks freaking awesome. So October 27th. I'm proud of them for thinking about the release date, pushing it back.
Yeah.
Shout out to Baldur's Gate 3 and Alan Wake 2 for doing what others are scared to do. You know what I mean?
Everybody get out of Sonic's way. Don't be afraid.
Smart.
Mike, what are you going to say?
I love Baldur's Gate. Love that you talk about
Baldur's Gate 3 is so good. Can we just like not play any other video games for the rest of the year and just play Baldur's Gate 3?
Baldur's Gate 3 is soon coming to PlayStation, but eventually it's coming to Xbox. But that's so far away. Mm, so if I want to know what's coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
You would look toward the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Do 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 do. Yeah.
Out today we got Guild Wars 2 expansion. We have Fort Solus on, aka Fart Souls on PC and PS5. We have Chicken Journey on PC. We have Immortals of Avium on PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. We have The Oregon Trail on Xbox One.
Ooh.
Hey. we have Stone Age on PC. WrestleQuest is finally out on everything.
Let's go.
And Crusader Kings 3, Wards and Wardens on PC. I'm going to check that you're wrong just to see if we got anything wrong, but that feels absolutely
Did anybody else
impossible.
Forget that this is KFGD? No.
I'm just out here.
Never forgot.
Nothing wrong. Thank you.
Yes, I love you.
Thank you, everybody. And then this week's hosts are tomorrow. It'll be me and Blessing. Thursday, it'll be Blessing me. And Friday, it's me and Bless.
Yeah, what a squad.
I love it. And if you, are we will do anything after this, Mike?
I might play some Kingdom Hearts in about 30 minutes. So if you want to see part two of my Kingdom Hearts playthrough, come on back here to Twitch. We're going to shut down for just a little bit so we can stretch, get outside, get some sun on our face. But it's looking about time, probably 3:00, top of the hour, to play more Kingdom Hearts with your boy Mike. I've made it to a town.
Traverse Town.
No, I call it TT. I'm in T-Town.
Oh, I can't wait. I might tune in. Based on the things you discovered in that first stream, you're about to be blown away.
Letting everybody know, so top much. Of the hour.
Y'all can check that out on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.